May the glory of the Lord rise among us this morning. May the presence of the Lord just overshadow us this morning. He has done it before, so why not do it again? Somebody praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scriptures read this morning from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We could have taken it all the way through to chapter 2, verse 5. And then in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, the purpose of reading all of that scripture really is that it would resonate in our hearts and that we would be reminded. It's almost like Israel being told to tell it to our children, that they would know and have a clarity about who God is. Bless the Lord. So let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father, they have come, and I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you, O God Almighty, to let your glorious presence manifest in our midst. I'm asking you to cover them. And I'm asking you, O God, to bring revelation and insight and the counsel of heaven, that God will be the better off when we leave this place today. I thank you, Father, that Lord God, you never fail. You never come up short. And these words of yours will accomplish that for which you have sent it. We bless you, Father, for the young ones. Oh God in heaven, they're not too young for you to do a mighty work. They're not too young, oh God Almighty, for Lord God, your spirit to inhabit them. And so I pray to you, God, not just for their presence, but for their destiny. God, I give you thanks, I give you praise. God, I thank you, God, for the older ones that are here this morning. Oh, God in heaven, may you remind them that their time has not yet come. And God, you will take them across the finish line. I bless you, Lord. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody bless his name. Amen. I want to use that title this morning from the scriptures that was read. Jesus is God's amazing gift to us. When Christmas, and it's a time of giving and receiving. But I would like us to know that Jesus is God's amazing gift to us. You can never ever get a gift better than the gift of Jesus Christ. And so the writers, Matthew and Luke, captures the birth of Jesus Christ, and the story of his birth. But also the songs that we sung, those were like a gospel writer ministering or witnessing to us of who this Lord Jesus Christ is. And so that Jesus is God's amazing gift to us. Amazing because, well, amazing really is causing great surprise, a wonder. It's an astonishment. It's astonishing to hear the word of God. So it's amazing. It causes great surprise, and it's a wonder. And gift is what we receive. We don't pay for gifts. The giver pays for the gift. A gift is free. Somebody say amen. And I'm sure these little children are looking forward to Christmas gifts, right? Amen. We look forward to Christmas gifts. But God has given a greater gift for you, and you're not too young to hear. The gift of Jesus Christ is the greatest one that you will get in your life. And people tend to treasure some gifts above others. We tend to treasure some gifts, and it's based upon the value we put to the gift. Amen? So we treasure the one that we put greater value to, or it might be the one that we need the most at any point in time. And so I want us to understand that when God was sending his son, Jesus Christ, when he was sending his gift to us, he had you and I on his mind. Amen. When he was sending his gift, he had you and I on his mind.
Yes.
What a God.
Mm-hmm.
What a God.
Mm-hmm.
What a God he is. So this morning, let's just look in the book of Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go through it again and read it all the way through again. But this time we're going to do it in portion. And verse 2 says, and it came to pass. Meaning, this is something that was coming. Then it happened. And then it is gone. It came to pass. In those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, this is prophecy being fulfilled in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This is prophecy being fulfilled that they would end up in Bethlehem and at that time.
Yes.
Micah prophesied and it said,
"O
thou Bethlehem Ephrathah."
Yes.
And though it was, you're not the least among your brethren, because God has chosen a Savior who will shepherd my people Israel.
Yes,
so Micah made this announcement 700 years before. This announcement came 700 years before. And Micah got this destination correct. Not by GPS. Micah got it by revelation. It's a prophet by revelation of the Holy Spirit. We live by revelation. The just shall live by faith. We live by revelation. So Micah got it by revelation. 700 years before Jesus and Joseph and Mary actually start proceeding towards Bethlehem. Verse 5 says, it came to be time. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. There was no room in the inn. So God, it was Michael who made this announcement long time before. And all the circumstances and everything somehow was divinely orchestrated so that they would get there at that moment. Why? Because God has a plan. And God had a plan for Joseph. God had a plan for Moses. God had a plan for Sarah. God had a plan for Rahab. God had a plan for Ruth. God had a plan for David.
Yes.
God had a plan for David.
Yes,
and sometimes, and God has a plan for you and I too. Whether you're here at 9 months or 9 years old, I want to tell you this morning that God has a plan for you. And but notice how they got there. There's some things that happened in society that caused them to get to the place where they got to. And so when God has a plan for you, I want to tell you this morning that he will navigate you at the time and to the place so that he can execute his plan at that place. Amen. He will take you at the appointed time. God's plan for your life. He will take you at the right place at the right time. It's not going to come before. It's not going to come after. It's going to come at the right time. And there's no decree from government. No government decree. No economic condition. No sickness, no disease. No demons, no devils that can stop the plan of God for your life. Somebody bless his name. So his plan, nothing can stop God from fulfilling his plan. And so his plan was to get Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem at that time, so that if this word would be fulfilled that was spoken to Micah 700 years ago. So he has a plan. And so, in starting verse 8, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? Sore afraid. This was an angelic visitation. And let's see what the angel says. An angel said unto them, starting at verse 10, fear not. If you're a human being, already know that anytime you encounter an angel, fear is going to come upon you. He says, fear not, for behold, he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for to all people. This is not for some people. This is for all people. This is not for Jews, but it's for Jews and Gentiles. This is not for man, it's for man and woman. It's not for the old, it's for young, middle age, old age, all age. It is for everybody. That says for all people. So significant. But God sends these angels to make this announcement. And it didn't come on CNN, it didn't come on Fox News, it didn't come on MSNBC or NBC, it didn't come on the Jerusalem Times or Jerusalem Broadcasting Corporation. It came from angels. Angels brought word. And the angels brought it to a group that is despised, a group that is looked at as the lowest in society. He brought it to shepherds. It didn't go to the king's palace. He didn't bring it to the president or to the prime minister. He brought it to the lowest of lowest to reflect the humility of this great Savior which was coming. Somebody bless his name. So the angels brought it to them. Now what an amazing God we serve. And so this announcement in verse 10 it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is good news and it should produce great joy. Good news. Have you ever gotten good news or gifts and you just get giddy and crazy in praise because you've got just what you need or more than you needed? You've got an overflow. I pray God this morning that you get an overflow right here in the name of Jesus. I don't want us to discount it and feel like we are just a lonely little set of people gathered in a little place and that prevents the Spirit of God to move with might and power in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, to call his shepherd, and we are his children. God will do it right here for us in the name of Jesus Christ. So he came for us. That was an angelic visitation. And so, they said, it's good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all, to all people. And they said, for unto you, somebody say unto me, right? For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled. Again. Now, in the earlier verses, when we look at verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. At this point, the angels haven't explained who this Savior is, or what gender this Savior is. But Isaiah, in the scripture before, Isaiah gave the gender reveal. We have no time gender reveal. Isaiah didn't burst for balloons or open anything and decide it's pink or blue. By the Spirit of God and the revelation of God, he said, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is different. And Jacob was redeemed from 700, Isaiah was 700 years also before this fulfillment.
Yeah.
So the gender reveal came from heaven
yeah.
by the prophet Isaiah, and we have it today.
Yes,
and the angel said, and he said to the shepherd, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I'm told that it's right, they wrap the child so that the child, none of the child's body parts would become deformed. It would remain straight. It would not be out of proportion. And so this was the sign for them. You're going to find the child, the angel said, lying in a manger. Verse 13 is a marvel. Look at verse 13. Follow me in verse 13. It says, after that announcement, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, we were praising God and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to our world men. Would you read verse 14 and now, please?
Glory to God in the highest,
and on earth
peace,
goodwill to our men. Hallelujah. Peace is expressing God's salvation, his redemption, is reuniting man back to God. It's reconciling a human, sinful human being back to him. And so it symbolizes and expresses that reconnection to God himself. Now, when angels announce anything, we better believe it and pay serious attention.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Yes.
When angels reveal anything, we better believe it and pay special attention. Zacharias learned it the hard way in chapter 1 of Luke. Because the angel of God came to him. And as he was doing his priestly duty, and he was burning incense before the Lord, and the angel came to him and said, peace, he said, that because Zacharias took out a prayer, right? And he explained to him, he said, listen, your prayers have been answered, and thy wife Elizabeth shall have a child, and his name shall be called John. Your coming, Johannes, his name shall be called John. And so, but Zacharias doubted. And it's almost like the angel Gabriel that is Jesus. And he says, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. And so it means that you and I need to be very careful of what the angel said. And the angel just told the shepherd that as when you put tidings, a great loss which shall be to all people, you and I. And he says, as he shall be born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And if you doubt it and disbelieve it, like Zechariah, then your end might not be as good as Zechariah. He only got done for the damnation that follows his obedience. Somebody
bless
me. So the angel, Mary got his life. Mary says, be unto me. Somebody said that. Be unto me according to thy word. Yes, so she got it right, and you and I need to be very, very careful when God proclaims his word that we believe and not doubt. Because the reading and the proclamation of the word is supposed to bring faith. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So when angels make an announcement, we got to be very careful. Don't get the angels mad and indignant like Zechariah.
Yeah.
So what was the angel's message to the shepherds? We just read that. That is, they're saying this is a Savior which is born, a Savior. Now, it's the angels, perhaps, we don't know how long these angels were waiting for the law. But I want us to jump to verse 14 again. The announcement by the angels, the response was, it created praise among the angels. It first said one angel did it, but the multitude joined them. Don't believe this was a one-off thing with the angels. The angels are constantly praising. So they left heaven praising, came to earth to the shepherd praising, and even now in the presence of God, they're doing what? Praising God and glorifying His name. I want you to remind yourself this Christmas that there's no greater gift that you can receive than the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ. This was an amazing work of God. And I say it was amazing because I think what makes it amazing is that it's supernatural. No human being has any part in this action of God. It's amazing because it has nothing to do with us and anything to do, everything with God.
Yes, sir.
It was us, God.
Yes, sir.
It was by God.
Yes,
it was for the redemption of man.
Yes,
for God's glory. Somebody praise His name. Now, look at verse 15. It says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Do you know how long the angels might have waited for the sign to be fulfilled of this particular, to be able to carry on this instruction? We don't know how long that angel waited. But the Bible says that, I want us to understand this, that angels are watching over your destiny. The Bible says that the angels encampeth round about them that fear Him. And angels are watching over my destiny and your destiny. We don't know why and the how and the when they will next move on our behalf. We don't know when they are, why or when and the how they're going to respond again and act on our behalf. So angels are watching over us. And verse 14 says the angels rejoice about the good news. The shepherds were amazed. In verse 15 it says, they said, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Every time we open the Bible, God is making something known to us.
Yeah.
The question is, are we locked in properly to be able to receive it? Do we receive the word of God in a sense of gratitude and understanding that, Lord, your word is above everything that exists. Your word is above what I know. And everything that I've known, whenever your word counters it, I need to follow what your word says. Because God wants this from us. Romans 12:1. Be not conformed to this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking for transformation. Right? So, I like the attitude of the shepherd. They set an example for us about to respond to instruction. It says, they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Verse 16 says, and they came with, somebody read that part, with it. Right, it was urgent. The message of God is urgent. The word of God is spirit and life. It is urgent for us. We can't afford to not move and act with urgency. It says they went with aid and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angels had said to them. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now the angels rejoiced. The shepherds were amazed. All who heard it were amazed. Mary was amazed too. Although verse 19 chapters, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Earlier in Luke, in chapter 1, Luke captured her amazement when she belted out the Magnificat and said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So she was amazed as well. It wasn't just the shepherds, it wasn't just those who heard, but Mary herself was amazed. And the shepherds told all those who were around. Look at verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Verse 18 says, "And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds."
Yes.
So the shepherds did their job. You and I have a job too. And that job, you can tell the whole world about it. You can tell the nation. Tell them Jesus. Tell them that the Christ come. It brings joy to my soul. Oh, joy to my soul. You can tell the world about it. You can tell the nation. And he is bringing it to pass, and he lets us know It's a plan not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And all of these children that are here today, God has a plan for them. And church, help them to find that plan. And you find that plan when you help them to find Jesus. This supposed babe at that time. That same Jesus that the angels proclaimed is a savior.
Yes.
And when they find this savior, they'll find their destination. Their destiny. When they find this savior, they'll know their purpose. When they find this savior, they'll live for God. And then everything is for God. So angels are God and watching over your destiny. Angels are acting on your behalf. The Bible says they encamp round about us. The Bible says that they ask and they listen to the word of God. And we don't know how long they have been on guard and in our life. They watch over Jesus. They watch over and they will ensure that God's plan for our life will be brought to completion. Somebody pray. Now the encounter with Jesus changed the shepherd's life completely. Verse 20 is a reflection of the change. Whenever we encounter Jesus, it always produces change. Don't tell me you've been saved and you're the same way as you were before. It produces change. So verse 20 shows us these shepherds. It says, and the shepherds returned. Yeah, I was waiting on somebody. The shepherds returned doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The angels praised and glorified God, and the shepherds caught on to what sees God. Because when they saw the babe as they went to see it, they themselves left praising and glorifying God. So today let us praise and glorify the Lord for His word to us.
Yeah.
This season is not a doom and gloom season. Christmas is not a time for doom and gloom.
No,
Christmas is a joyful time. Rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in Him always. But Christmas is a time of rejoicing. Christmas is a time to praise Him. Christmas is a time to recognize that the greatest gift and perhaps the greatest phenomenon that has ever taken place on earth. The birth and the death of Jesus that mankind have never seen before. All supernatural. It's a time to rejoice. And God gave us Isaiah 61 because reason to rejoice.
Yes.
So He says that He has given us the oil of joy for mourning.
Yes.
He has given us beauty for ashes.
Yes.
And He has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Somebody says His name.
Yes.
Somebody praise Him.
Yes.
Somebody praise Him for
Lord.
Jesus. Somebody
yes.
bless Him for our Savior.
Yes.
Somebody throw yes. a fire for He's a great God. Somebody worship Him in the name of Jesus. Angels worship Him. The shepherds worship Him. We are to worship God. We don't have to wait for a specific time. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him all day long. And the Bible, in other words, what He says is what the Bible says. Let everything and pray. Come on, praise Him then. Come on, praise Him. Take your time and praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Take your time and praise Him.
Praise the Lord.
What a wonderful time to remember and to reflect upon God's goodness. You might not get the type of gift you're looking for, but God's gift is the best. And God's gift is this amazing gift. It's an amazing gift. There's no one that can match this gift. None whatsoever. The angel says He's a savior. A savior. Anybody have met a savior?
Yes, sir.
and can testify that it is the greatest gift ever given. Oh, when my life turned around so sweet after I met him. Since I met the Savior, Jesus. There's a woman that was at the well, a Norman Christmas. Yes. But when she encountered Jesus, and she went out with it again,
yes.
She said, come here now. You told me everything. Jesus is Savior. Is not this. Thank you, Pastor. Is not this. Everybody who really encountered it came away changed.
Yes.
Everybody who really encountered it came away with amazement and joy and peace. If you're a sad Christian, I'm asking you to go back to that altar. Spend time with the Lord. Let the oil of joy come over you. Let him clothe you with the garments of praise. Let him be the beautiful happy in the name of Jesus. What a wonderful time to encounter Jesus.
Yes, the Lord. Yes, the Lord.
I like what Matthew captured. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 1. Because God has a plan for every life that he created. When we pick up at verse 18 in Matthew, chapter 1. And he captured an obedience from a man that was struggling to accept a situation that was real, but was possible, could bring shame to him. Verse 18, I'm going to read it. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, listen to this, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a hot situation there. Can cause great discontent. Then Joseph, her husband, the Bible has been read with us right now, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, he was thinking to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what?
Jesus.
Can you say that again?
Jesus.
Say that one more time.
Jesus.
Why? Is he called Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Isaiah again, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. Gender revealed again, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Here's another man who responded to the angel, not in doubt or unbelief, but he acted in faith, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a wonderful child, Jesus. Verse 2 says this, chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to us worship. God even so allowed the stars to reveal to these wise men, so to speak, that Jesus was born. Whenever the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now I can understand why Herod was troubled, because he's the king. And a new king is going to come and take over his throne. That's what he said. So I understand why Herod was troubled. I can't understand though how the other people were troubled. It says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. I can't understand why all the people were troubled when a savior is born. You know, there's the oppression of Herod, there's the oppression of the Roman Empire, and a savior has been born, why would they be troubled? Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So they knew where he was supposed to be born. Herod didn't know. Verse 6 says, and thou Bethlehem, this is the master speaking again, in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, a king that shall rule my people Israel. Is God sovereign over your life? Have you made Jesus the Lord over your life, the keeper of the soul? If you have not, the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Will you just bow your heads with peace? Lord, if there's one here today, whether present here or present listening over the conference line, or present in the future listening over the website, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your troubling of the heart. No man can trouble the heart like you do. I remember my journey, Lord, and I remember that week, the stirring and the troubling, not understanding that you were preparing me for a good thing. May they know today that you are troubling them for a good thing. Because, Lord, your word says you desire that none would perish. And so I pray, O God, that your spirit would trouble and stir up and open eyes in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I bless you, Father, for those who would say, yes, Lord. For those who would surrender and say, I am a sinner. And you are a savior, and I need you. God, I bless you for them. I bless you, God Almighty, for the backslider who would say, Lord, I knew you, but I've taken a step back. And God, today I want to come to surrender afresh. We thank you, God Almighty, for the mighty work of your spirit that works. Your quickening presence, I thank you for him. And I thank you, God Almighty, that this word shall not return to you, Lord. God, remind them, O Father, that Jesus is your amazing gift to us. Remind them, O Lord God, that angels are watching over their destiny. Remind them, O God, that this is a season not to mourn, but to rejoice.
Yes.
Remind them, O God Almighty, that, Lord God, you have a plan and a purpose for them.
Yes,
and remind them, O God Almighty, that when you have a plan for someone, you will orchestrate their journey at the right time to the right place so that you may execute your plan.
Yes,
God, I bless you for each and every one of them. I bless you, God. God, I'm looking forward to some increases.
Yes.
I'm looking forward for somebody, oh God, to find that plan of yours and to be able to walk it with boldness. I pray a spirit of boldness in this house in the name of Jesus. I pray, God Almighty, that the weak would become strong in the name of Jesus. That the elderly would have the zeal and the passion of a youth in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, oh God, that Lord God, the young, Lord God, will see vision and the old will see dreams in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the execution of your plan to destroy the works of the devil. God Almighty, I praise you, oh God, that Lord God, no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. I thank you, oh God, that you have already given them the victory. I pray, O God Almighty, no devils, no demons, no sickness, no disease, no government decree, no economic condition will ever cause them to doubt you, O God, because you will fulfill your plan for them. My God, I give you praise and I rejoice in God, my Savior. I rejoice in the work that you do, Father. And I thank you that we have the victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Somebody bless his name. Come on, pray.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is great. He's great to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless his name. And if you ever find yourself in a hard situation, burst forth a praise. Bring forth praise when you're in hardship. May God give you the praise in your belly. And may you come up in the name of Jesus Christ. May you never ever lack a praise. May you anoint your lips to praise him. May you cause your heart to rejoice in God your Savior. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus.